Welcome to Girls Gone Hallmark, a Hallmark review podcast. I'm Megan, and I'm a longtime Hallmark fan.
I'm Wendy. I'm your former Hallmark hater.
Today, we are reviewing and recapping The Way Home, Season 2, Episode 8, Lose Yourself. We would love for you to find us outside of the podcast. We are on Instagram. We can be found in two different places, at Girls Gone Hallmark and at Megan and Wendy.
Come jump into our Girls Gone Hallmark Facebook group. We just over there today planning our calendar for April, and we asked the group specifically, exclusively, what they want us to review in terms of fan favorite movies for the month of April. So if you want to weigh in, come over there and give us a holler.
Yeah, hustle on over. That's the only group that gets an opinion about that.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, if you want more from us, The Way Home is ending. That's one fewer episode from us every single week. You can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/Megan and Wendy. We publish episodes every Monday, and some of those are pop culture related. Some of those are just life related. It's $5 a month, but you can get an entire week completely free to check it out. See if you are interested in what we have going on over there, and you can dig into our back catalog with that free week. Let's talk The Way Home. As mentioned, this episode is titled Lose Yourself. That's an Eminem song from 2002.
Such a good song.
Such a good song.
It's a good hype song, right?
Yeah, I love that song.
Me too.
We have Shamim Sharif directing this episode. So we just really have been ping-ponging back and forth between two directors all season long.
Yeah, I'm curious to see who's going to wrap this up.
Oh, yeah. Can we hear a synopsis?
Sure. Dale Cat and Alice learn how events of the past have shaped their family's present. Alice learns a secret that affects her relationship with Elliot.
That's an awfully short synopsis for an awfully packed episode.
This episode reminded me a lot of season one, where it was like jumping back and forth between time frames.
Yeah.
It was a lot. You know, when you're taking notes for it, I'm like, oh, God, present day, 2007, 2000, where are we at? Where are we at?
Yes. I did break it down once again. I have five key plot points, although two of them are like itty bitty baby plot points.
Okay.
The first one, itty bitty baby plot point, is the Kat and Jacob storyline. Just like a tiny little taste. We also have the itty bitty baby storyline of Alice and Noah's journey together. And then our three bigger storylines revolve around, first of all, we have Dell and Sam and the Landry Land.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Lingermore party, and we have present day Kat and Elliot and Nick, and by extension, Monica, working through some stuff.
Okay. What do you want to start with?
Well, let's get the baby storylines out of the way, I think.
Okay. Let's start with 1814 Jacob.
Yeah, just a brief visit to 1814.
Dude, that opening scene, Jacob talking about his experience and the one single tear that comes down his face had me just all in. Like, I love the freaking casting of Spencer McPherson for Jacob. He's good.
You know, in all of this time, I've never really thought about what it would be like for an 8-year-old little boy to fall through a pond and wake up in a different time and the panic that would overtake him. Like, I can't find my way home. What is happening? And it's not all that unusual to me that he doesn't really have those pre-pond memories.
Of course not. I mean, once you, like, any kind of childhood trauma or trauma, like, you tend to, like, black those things out, I think. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm not surprised he doesn't have those memories. But watching that actor in that scene, I thought he emoted such, like, confusion and depth. Like, he was really trying to get there in his brain to find those memories, to unlock them. And the scene was all of, like, a minute, maybe. I was really taken by it. I thought it was really good.
What did you think of "See you later, alligator"? Why didn't you come for me sooner? As the callback,
kind of a real gut punch to Kat.
Yeah.
No,
I don't know how she held herself back, because, again, of course, it's the writing. It's only so little time. They needed it to be a more dramatic moment. But were it me, I wouldn't be able to let it go.
Yeah, you'd be like, wait a minute. I only learned about the portal pawn 6 months ago, maybe.
I searched for you. I've never let it go. That's unfair, dude.
Yeah, it is unfair.
I've been trying.
Because it's like, look, we as a family have been looking for you in, we didn't know you were here in 1814.
And even when I started time traveling via pond, it didn't take me here. It took me back to my own childhood.
Yeah.
So I just kind of felt defensive on her behalf. Like, sure. Wait just a minute.
Sure, sure.
I liked the little tomcat moment we get by the pond. I thought it was very sweet. She's worried. You know, she explains, like, I don't have any control over when I come back here. Like, I could come back tomorrow in real time, and it could be 5 years from now.
Right.
He promises to take care of her, and they have a kind of sweet hand-holding moment. And I know are not temporally desirable. It doesn't work, but
I have a
still
thought.
Want them to – oh.
I have a thought. I'm going to share it a little bit later, but okay. I have a thought. I thought it was kind of interesting in that scene, you know, she tells Thomas, like, to take care of himself, too. And when she jumps in, like, he watches? I don't know. I thought he made kind of an unusual little curious face.
Like, can I follow?
Yeah.
What will happen if I jump in with her?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Take me. Yeah. Interesting. The babiest of all the baby storylines is the absolute unresolved Alice and Noah moment.
Do you think there's something bigger here, or
yes,
or are they just eliminating the storyline?
Oh, no, I think there's something bigger here. It's clear that Noah likes Alice. He keeps showing up. He's flirting with her. There's something going on that makes it a bad idea. I don't know what that thing is. And she doesn't give him an opportunity to explain, nor does he try all that hard. He just says, we shouldn't have done that. And I don't think it's, we shouldn't have done that because I don't like you that way. I think it's, we shouldn't have done that because I don't know. I have a ghost girlfriend. I don't know.
Well, she definitely brushes him off because she doesn't want to hear, like, if it is truly, like, I don't like you and we shouldn't have kissed. So she's like, we'll just leave it alone.
Right. She doesn't want that rejection.
Yes, but I need to know. I need to know more about Noah. And I thought it was kind of interesting because later when Monica is talking to Kat about Alice and Noah, she's like, that kid's going nowhere. And I thought, why is Monica weighing in on Noah and Alice right now? Look.
Yeah, what troubled things has Noah done to make Monica feel that way about him?
Right. I need Noah and Alice to happen because I need her to have a peer group in her present day. And I'm sweet on Noah. So I.
Sure. And there's no other teenagers in this entire town. Spencer and Zoe, the apparent only two other kids, are gone. So she needs a friend.
Yeah. I need Noah and Alice to happen because all the stuff between Nick and Alice is making me very uncomfortable.
I did love when she walks by him. She's like, great advice, by the way.
So, okay. I love that too. But this is what's funny is that when we see Alice kind of reunite with young Nick back in 2007, like she's like enamored with him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think like in current day, she doesn't really, she's like grossed out by him. Not grossed out, but like I think she knows like you're adult
Nick. Healthy boundary.
Yes.
The healthy boundary.
I agree. But I'm like, how the heck are they going to resolve this? It's just making me on edge to watch.
Well, since we're talking about this, I want to say that I'm glad they didn't actually reunite at the Lingermore party. They just have that weird through the window moment because at that point he's 24 and she is still a 17-year-old girl. So,
yeah. Yep.
I'd like to propose we get the Del, Sam, and the land discussion out of the way.
Okay, go for it.
A couple things are happening here. One, Del is falling for Sam, but still constantly, every moment is interrupted by a memory of Colton.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Colton is the ultimate ghost cock blocker. And I understand he's not appearing here as a ghost. It's just funnier that way. The other thing is she still can't figure out what to do. She doesn't want to let go of this land. Colton had such big dreams for the land. She feels very attached to the Landry land. And even though Evelyn Lingermore, well, that's not her name, Evelyn Goodwin's son, who we still don't have a name for, she just refers to him as Evelyn's son, has offered to purchase Del's land. She's not ready. She brings up the idea of the community farm to Sam, says the This is what I didn't understand earlier. She says the town didn't buy in. I didn't realize the town needed to financially buy in.
Yeah,
she apparently needs money to make this happen.
Yeah, I hate this storyline, to be honest.
I kind of thought, like, if you're doing a community farm, people would pay to have access to the farmland, is what I would thought. Like, you'd sell off little individual, like, this is the Smith family, and this is the Joseph's family. We have our own little farming. That's how I envisioned it. Not that somehow the town needed to buy in. So Sam asks to see her plan and commits the ultimate crime of offering to fund it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a confusing moment here for me, though.
Tell me. Now,
tell me if perhaps you understood this better. Earlier in the episode, there's a scene with Kat and Del in 2007.
Yes.
And they're arguing, as they always are. And Kat says, oh, when it's a stranger, it's a kind act. But when it's family, it's charity.
I'm going to stop you there. That's an argument that takes place in present day.
Oh. That's not the 2007 argument she has?
No, that's
okay,
an argument that takes place in present day because Del tells her about the phone call and Goodwin's son wanting to buy. And then during this whole scene with Sam, we see a flashback to 2007 Kat handing Del a check.
Yes. I did see that because earlier in 2007 had been saying, like, I think we're going to sell. And Kat's like, you can't do that. Now, I inferred that money came from Brady's parents.
Yeah, I agree.
Kat throws that back in her face. These two cannot get on the same page.
Seriously.
So it's all bringing up these memories of all these times that things got ugly. And then we know that, like, Colton was trying to get a loan to make big things happen, but that didn't really come through as well.
Right. Okay, there's a couple of points here that I want to discuss. Just because you mentioned it right now, we get that scene between Del and Colton, and he's unhappy because he didn't get the bank loan that he wanted. And Del says to him, like, oh, let's have some fun this weekend. It's the carnival. And I've signed you up for the dunk tank, right? Is this
when Jacob goes missing?
He goes missing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, things are about to get, like, really worse for him.
Yeah.
But is there any significance here, do you think? Like, I signed you up for the dunk tank, anything like that? There was some chatter on Reddit about it. That's why I'm asking you.
What does Reddit think?
Water. Colton is a time traveler. I was like, I don't think it has anything to do with anything.
I thought they were just trying, because don't we see Colton in the dunk tank in the episode where Jacob goes missing? I thought they were just trying to orient us in time.
I agree. Here's my other question, and back to something I hinted at earlier. We're talking about Evelyn Goodwin's son, and why haven't we seen him?
Mm.
And methinks, could it be Thomas? Is this person going to show up? And it's Thomas Coyle in present day. I don't know how
that's weird.
Becomes Evelyn's son.
Because he hates Cyrus Goodwin.
I don't know how it works, but I was like, but maybe? Because then I started thinking, like, how the hell is that portrait of Catherine in the Goodwin house?
Yes. All good questions.
Is it somehow, they're somehow related somehow? I don't know. But I'm telling you, I'm going to be really excited if we get Thomas in present day, and it's going to give us a present day triangle between.
Oh, I'd be cool with that. I would be very cool with that.
I don't know how they're going to explain it, but I'm here for it.
I think it's a reach for him to be her son. But I'd be cool with Thomas in present day, and nothing surprises me about this show anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
Del does say during this exchange that she's always felt indebted to Evelyn for what she did for them years ago. Now, we do get the beginnings of the Lingermore incident at the end of this episode. We don't get all of it, and we don't know what Evelyn's done in order to protect her in this time yet. So,
yeah, this is what infuriates me is because, one, first of all, I predicted that, oh, that Lingermore party is going to be the season finale. It's not, so I'm annoyed at myself for that. The second thing is, has Del been indebted to Evelyn because of a party that took place at her home and her daughter got hurt there?
Or obviously, that scene isn't the end of it. It can't be the end of it. Let's talk about the Lingermore party.
Okay.
I thought it was very LOL that it was all due to a Facebook invite snafu. And I found it hilarious that Monica confesses in present day to being the person to have shared the Facebook invite. What did you think of the revelation that Kat and Elliot were going to run off together to London?
Weird, like out of left field.
Yeah, is Kat all of a sudden seeing Elliot as something more than her best friend? I've had one boyfriend my entire life, and now I want to run away and be a young person?
I don't know. It was super bizarre to me. I kind of thought for a second, like, she saw Elliot as a meal ticket, because he's like, let's go. Look,
it did feel like there was like a little bit of like a romantic spark in that moment.
A little bit, but like they are not going to happen. They are not meant to happen. Ever. They argue too much. They fight about everything. And then they have these like passionate like makeouts. It's just volatile.
I agree, but you don't think that they are the ultimate endgame of the show?
I hope not. You don't
think they're the Ross and Rachel?
Really? I don't care for Elliot or his character. I need more, and I'm hoping like season three we get more about Elliot, more about like his backstory in terms of his family, and hopefully he was doing some shady shit with the pond. I don't know.
Oh, well, so happening parallel to the Lingamore incident is the present day Kat Elliot Nick situation. And Nick is like trying to shake shit up. He's bored in a small town. He's like, we got to go do something. We got to hang out. I like when they have these like parallel incidents when they're filmed like back and forth from like the Lingamore party to these four in present day. They did that in the last episode with like the three bonfires. It kind of ties it together when we're hopping all over time wise.
Sure. I have a question. When Monica confesses that she was the one who sent the Facebook invite, right? It's such a like a throwaway. Who cares? She did it. But she says, like, I was 24 and bored. Now, mind you, Spencer is a year older than Alice, right? Wouldn't she have had Spencer by this time?
Oh, yeah. Maybe there's a hole there.
Yeah, the math isn't mathing for me here. And I also don't like that this looks like a high school party turned bad when these people are 24 years old.
Right.
You know?
Yes. It does feel like, ooh, my parents are out of town. Throw this party. And it gets out of hand. The only real allusion to the fact that they're adults is when they're planning it. Elliot says to Kat, like, oh, we'll have some wine. Does the masquerade of it all, is that supposed to make them seem older? She even says, like, ooh, it's very Gossip Girl. Weren't they in high school in Gossip Girl?
They were in high school. But Gossip Girl went on for a long time, for several years. So maybe they were at, I don't know. I didn't watch
Gossip Girl. Sure. Okay. I don't know. And then these two doofuses get in a fight.
Yeah. Elliot, like, finally sacked up and like confronted Brady, you know, which I liked because I think Brady has just always like railroaded Elliot. So I like that. But then they get in a fight like at 24 years. Well, I guess 24 year olds get in fights, but it was like very high school to me.
It was very high school. Here's why I feel like this is unfinished, because Elliot's like, I hope someday you can forgive me.
Yeah.
Why? Because your mom got too close to a punch that I threw to your dad. This is an unforgivable event. That doesn't feel like all of it to me.
Yeah, I hope there's more, because I'm going to be super disappointed.
I'm so indebted to her. What, for covering up that you guys threw a party at her house? Like, kids are dumb. That's not a 15-year debt that you needed to repay.
Right.
That's like a, I'll come clean your house after the mess that they made that you need to pay. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's not adding up to me here. There has to be more going on. It was
They're
very,
it,
they talk about how like the town covered it up and it was never covered in the papers. And they had to dig through these negatives of this article that was pulled. And Alice is like, there's a lot of blood. There's like three spots of blood in that photo. Okay. That I'm going to need more from the Lingamore incident.
Well, let's hope.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope. What else is there?
The big reveal. First of all, I did not notice that Elliot's been taking notes all this time in like a blue book, like a test booklet from high school. That's very funny to me. Like, it was not in an actual journal. Maybe that speaks to lack of resources as a child. Nick comes across it, apparently reads all of it, and is like, WTF, as Kat and Elliot are having this like, what do you mean you came back for me? And I do understand where she's coming from, because if he came back for her, he did it all wrong. He just can't stop starting fights with her.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm talking about.
He's always so happy to see him. And then he's like, I can't do this with you anymore.
Exactly. He's always pissed off at her for her decisions. But he longs for her still. I just like
get over it. Friday Night Lights, Landry being a murderer doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. I don't think this show went through a sophomore slump, but I do think there's like something weird happening with Elliot's character.
It's for sure.
I no longer think he was time traveling while he was gone. Like, we know that he went to visit Nick on his trip and that he cut his trip short because he came back to get Kat. Nevertheless, they're like, can't keep their hands off each other, making out, and Nick comes storming out. Like, what the hell? And I think, obviously, seeing Alice's name in the journal, especially.
Yeah, so I paused it and read what I could on there. Mm. And it basically just was like, oh, we met this chick named Alice, and she was like, Kat pulled her out of the sinkhole and blah, 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 blah. And she says she's a time traveler and et cetera, et cetera. And then there was like one line in there where he said, like, I don't know if I should believe her. I tried jumping in and nothing happened. So, I mean, I don't know. He could easily write this off as like, oh, dude, I'm just like writing a book or whatever, you know? Like, he can easily get out of this to Nick. And Nick is just a doofus to me. I don't like Nick. I don't know why. I can't pinpoint why I don't like Nick other than he's just a doofus. And we get Claire leaves him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And now she's calling him back and she wants to get back together. And he's like, yeah, I'll meet you wherever. Or like, we'll make it work. Some talk on Reddit. Who's Claire? Is Claire someone else in the future that we from somewhere that we...
Sometimes the Redditors just need to relax. I don't think so. I think it's just like this distraction off screen to give Nick something to do, mm-hmm. to give him a reason to not be around all the time. I also don't think these two are going to work. Nick obviously cannot sit still. Speaking of people who cannot sit still, his livelihood is working on yachts. Obviously, he stopped doing that because he lost the love of his life. But he's in town for like an hour and a half. And he's like, yo, let's do something. Let's go on a ghost tour. Let's go out. We got to do something. Let's dance awkwardly in Elliot's living room and try and recreate the magic of this party that happened 15 years ago. It's all very odd to me. And this does not speak to a guy who's like ready to settle down.
Yeah, that's funny you say that because during that dance scene in Elliot's house, I was like, is that super awkward? Like just four adults like dancing? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've never done that in my adult life. Not in somebody's living room, four people.
Never. Mm-hmm. Were there some moments that you really loved in this episode?
Well, I already said it. I loved the scene with Jacob at the beginning. That was like by far my favorite. I watched this episode 3 times.
Wow.
On first watch, I really was into it. On second, third watch, I was like, I didn't think it was like that great of an episode because I thought Lingermore, as we had seen, what we've got of it was super anticlimactic.
Yeah, like, underwhelming.
They've been talking for a whole season. They've been talking about this. Uh-huh. And I'm like, that's why I'm hoping you're right. That's not the end of it. We're going to get something like the place better burn down or something, right? I know that's not going to happen, but it needs to be more. So whatever.
Sure. All the 1812 haters had your moment with this episode. So I feel like this was for them.
You know what's really funny is that I want to be in 1814. I want more from 1814 right now. Like, I don't need 2007.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of unfinished business in 1814. The portrait and Jacob and what are they going to do with him and Thomas. I'm glad we moved the Lingermore incident forward a little bit. I did think Alice in that moment, she's like, what? You can't run away. This can't happen. Like, none of this can happen. I'm going to get erased.
Yeah, that was a funny moment. Back to the future. Yeah.
And I think it's really interesting that you see that she's still very much a child because she thinks like whatever's she's witnessing happening at this party is going to change things as opposed to her just like she's not changing it. It's not changing. This is what happened.
Yeah.
Instead of her being like, oh, this is a weird moment here that I thought like my parents' relationship was very linear.
Is this the last time Alice goes back that Elliot remembers? Mm-hmm. I can't recall. Like, it just seems like that was the last. And how does Kat not remember Alice being at Lingermore? Like, they have this whole moment.
She gets clocked in the head.
True.
We have a Facebook group member who can't stand Rita. And look, I was right there with you. I think Rita season two is so funny. And I think her leading a ghost tour is just, it's quick. It doesn't take up that much of the episode. It gives our gang of four something to do. She's so funny.
I hated Rita last season. She bugged the heck out of me. I enjoy her. She has the greatest quippy line this week, where she's like, leave your commentary till after the tour's over. Thank you. Yeah, I just thought it was so funny.
I did think Kat's reveal to Elliot, like, oh, yeah, I'm the White Witch. I started that rumor. And he's like, we're going to circle back to that. Thought that was very funny. Young Elliot also had a funny moment when Alice is like, I'm coming to that party. And he was like, you are a real life Dorian Gray. No, you are not. And for anybody who doesn't know, Dorian Gray is the reference from a novel, The Picture of Dorian Gray. And Dorian Gray is an aristocrat who trades his soul for everlasting youth. So
yes,
I did think that was funny.
I thought that was good too. Yeah, I thought that was good too. And I liked how she burned him about his like non-existent facial hair as well.
In my notes, I started calling him Scruffy. My notes are like, Scruffy and Kat talk about trouble at home. I feel like we do not move any of our unsolved mysteries forward.
Let's go through your list of unsolved mysteries.
Well, the horse is on a break.
Mm-hmm.
We do not know who was lurking in the bushes.
Oh, yeah.
There was a moment when we see 1997 Kat and Del having an argument, and you can tell someone's watching them, that at first I was like, oh, is this the same person? No, it's Alice. Oh. She's just time traveled back. But you hadn't seen Alice. Like, you knew she had gone on the pond, but you hadn't seen Alice yet in that moment. And sometimes we don't know what's a memory and what's someone's actually experiencing. So I thought, oh, is it the same person? But it was Alice. Mm-hmm. I guess it could have been Alice watching them in that other moment too. Anyway, what happened in the Lingamore estate? Okay, so there was a party. Things got out of hand. I feel like it's very dramatic to leave Kat floating face down in that fountain, as if they would have all just stood there watching her. Yeah. And be like, well, guess she's dead. They wouldn't have immediately run over and lifted her out of the fountain.
In. Yeah.
Lots of talk about the land, but we don't know if there's something magical about the soil. We don't know what Del was going to tell Kat.
Nope.
Alice's Through the Looking Glass book has been all but forgotten. Mm-hmm. We have not seen a message come through the fireplace stone.
Ah, damn. Every week I remember those when you say it.
And we do learn a little bit more about Jacob's disappearance, in that he fell in the pond and came out in 1814 and doesn't really remember. I thought it was very funny that Kat was like, what did they think of your clothes? Do you know what they did with those? Because she found them buried in the farm. He's like, I don't know. Yeah. That's not going to be something an 8-year-old's going to be aware of. And that's all she wrote.
Well, I would like to add two more to your list. So get to type in. What's happening with Noah? Mm. Why shouldn't that kiss have happened? Who is Noah? And my second one is, who is Evelyn Goodwin's son?
Love it. Added.
Okay. Moving on. Did we find Jacob? Yes, finally. Woo. Yeah, cool.
It's him.
I mean, all last season was all about, like, Jacob is missing. Now we found him. So where does this show go from here?
You know, what are we going to do with him?
You know, I told you, I'm this is not Reddit. This is the Way Home Facebook group that I'm in. And people are like, yeah, I hope this show wraps up the end of the season. Like, it doesn't continue for a season three. And I'm like, no. What? What?
So much to handle.
I think so, too. I'm like, why would you just end it here at season two? That doesn't make any sense.
And they wouldn't, because you're not introducing a love triangle with the plans to wrap it up after season two.
Exactly. Let's move on to Pike and Does It Again. Lots of songs in this episode.
Yeah.
Lots of songs. We start out at Lingamore, and there's a song playing. Of course, I tried to Shazam it, and nothing was coming up. And then I noticed on my closed caption, it just said 2000s pop song. So I think it was just, you know, whatever filler music, they call that. But then we moved on to a song called Starlight by Muse, and it was played both at the Lingamore party and at Elliot's house, like That's when Kat says, like, oh, I'm thinking about glittery vampires or whatever. And then we also had Misery Business by Paramore. And this is the second time Paramore has been featured on The Way Home. I can't remember the first song they used. Let me see if I have it. It was back in episode one. Oh, I do have it. It was Decode by Paramore in episode one. So this time we have Misery Business by Paramore. And the final song is Thanks for the Memories by Fall Out Boy.
Yeah, that was the best one of the episode, in my opinion.
Tons of music. So good job, Jen Pykin.
Yeah, and I think it was well reserved for this moment. You know, we've talked about how, like, some episodes don't have it, and we've joked, like, oh, maybe they don't have the budget. This is the episode to use it, right? Like, you've got the party, and then you've got the parallel event happening. I'm glad.
They're not playing Paramore during 1814 scenes. It wouldn't make sense.
Exactly.
But, okay.
All right, two episodes to go. We do not hope this series ends. I do know that some people hate this season, and some other Hallmark reviewers hate this season.
Who?
I'm not going to call them out publicly, but I've seen some chatter about how disappointed they are. And
I'm not disappointed. I find this is appointment TV. I watch it on Sunday nights. I think it's a really strong series. And if I may, like, I think it has elevated the channel a little bit. I think Hallmark may need to step up its game in their movies if they want to continue with this elevated entertainment.
Look at you.
I'm just saying.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new movie review. Hallmark took a little hiatus, but we are back with our Crimes of Fashion Killer Clutch review. Come back for that. In the meantime, hop into our Facebook group. And if you love this podcast, we love your 5-star ratings and reviews. You can leave them in the podcast app of your choice. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.